TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the TV Time Machine podcast. As always, I am your host, Luis Garcia.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV.
We love TV.
We're never going to get that, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah. We got really close at the end of season one. So yeah, I think after like 10 or 12 episodes into this season, maybe we'll get it.
I think so. How's your Saturday going?
Going pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Me and the dog just got back from the park where he was exploring his sexuality, whether he wanted to or not. And I think Sam is now bi, or came out as bi today. So he's in good company. Bravo, Sam. I love you no matter what. You're still my dog. And it doesn't change anything. I still love you. He's on the couch right now, just kind of reminiscing about his new boyfriend. Jared was the dog's name, I think. Anyway, that was my day.
And Jared.
What about you?
Pretty uneventful. Watched some Ugly Betty, watched The Family Man, which is a way better film than I think people remember, or I don't know.
I think it came out at a weird time for his career because he was like on top of the world there for a while.
Yeah, and know what though too, I don't like Brett Ratner as a director. It's probably the best Brett Ratner movie.
Well, that's when he stopped doing like some of his big studio stuff. I picked up this guy today too.
Oh, nice!
You need to go see that, the Batman.
Yeah, I gotta see it.
I walked into GameStop and they're like, here's your list of pre-orders. I'm like, yeah, Eli's not here. They were asking for Eli. I'm like, oh, it's his mom's weekend. But I bought a new t-shirt, Captain America, Falcon. Yeah, just nerding out on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
I got my Lisa Lopez on.
Left eye.
Yep, left eye.
And drink one for the homies. You pour one out for the homie? Poor girl. Speaking of influential women, what a great segue.
Yeah.
Our show today is the most badass women in TV history. And today's show is brought to you by North Fresh Coffee Roasters. Please visit them at northfreshcoffee.com. I need to get better at this. Hold on. And if you use, let's see, northfreshcoffee.com, use the code promo code ponder at checkout for $10 off your shipment of $40 or more. It's so worth it.
Can't beat that deal.
That is
especially once you taste the coffee, you're going to be like.
Once you taste the coffee, it's like.
Why didn't I get this sooner?
Yeah, you're going to beat yourself up.
These guys know their TV and their coffee.
We know both things. So Tristan will appreciate it. This is someone that kept his business going through the pandemic, through a trade crisis, couldn't get the beans, and he's still going for it. So help him out.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite woman in TV history? If you could choose one.
Oh man, that's tough. That's really tough. Gosh, man, Felicia Rashad is just like
Mrs. Coming in.
Yeah, Felicia.
So nerd.
Her and Mary Tyler Moore, Lucy.
Lucy's my all-time fave.
She's amazing. She's a gem.
She went through so much. She was told she couldn't be pregnant on the air. She did it anyway. She was told she couldn't be in bed with her husband on the air. She pushed the bed together right before taping started.
Yep.
She had to rehire her husband, Ricky, because his accent was too thick. She's like, not going to do that. What else you guys got that I can say no to?
Yeah. And And William Shatner likes to take credit for this, but for having the first interracial on-screen kiss. But Lucy and Desi, they got that way, way before them.
Yeah, they were kissing.
I mean, exactly. They invented the sitcom, and then, you know, and the three-camera show, and then...
And the live audience.
Yeah, yeah. And then had the first interracial kiss. Way before William Shatner, what, like two decades almost?
Yeah, William Shatner likes to take credit for a lot of things. let's get it. Let's be real. He's such a narcissist. But we love you, Captain Kirk.
Yes.
Don't fall out of your captain's chair. You'll break a hip. All right. Well, I sent you over two lists. I'm just going to kind of ping pong between the two. Mm-hmm. These what we're talking about is based on it. March 23rd, 2021, Rotten Tomato article written by staff. This one's called 100 of over 100 of TV's most fearless women. And then the second one is 30 greatest groundbreaking women shows in TV history. This is based on a March 2020. Oh my God, that month is so traumatizing. March 2020 article written by Susan Pennington, Chris Beecham and Misty Holland from goldderby.com. Never heard of this website before in my life, but I want to give credit where credit is due. You know, don't want to be William Shatner taking credit for things that don't belong to moi. So we'll talk about women and the women's shows. And this is all because International Women's Day or month.
Yeah, Women's History Month.
Women's History Month is this month. And so to honor the awesome women in television and television shows based on women, we wanted to discuss our favorites. I'll start with a little show called Alice that ran from 1976 to 1985. It's based on the Martin Scorsese movie, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, with the Exorcist mom. What's her name? Exorcist mom. In the movie Exorcist. Anyway, she played Alice.
I remember.
Recently divorced woman moves to a small town with her son and becomes, widowed mother, Alice Hyatt, struggles to end.
Oh, yes, that's right. She's widowed.
Taking a job.
Linda Lavin. That's her name.
Yeah, she's so hot. Taking a job waitressing at Mel's Diner in Phoenix after her car breaks down and she ends up staying there.
Lilies of the Field storyline almost.
Yeah. Sharing an apartment with her teenage son. She works hard in attempts to leave town, be both parents, and then forms friendship with her female coworkers, the outspoken Flo, played by Polly Holiday, and the accident prone Vera. We all love Vera. She's such a klutz. Played by Emmy Award winning Beth Holland. They all won Emmys for the show mm-hmm. and were nominated.
Yeah, it was a huge show. It was on for what, like 9 seasons?
Yeah. I remember the theme song. There's a new girl in town and she's feeling good. That's the only part I remember.
Remember that. I remember watching the show, but I can't remember like any outstanding moments. There's a few of the shows on this list that like I know I watched kind of regularly in syndication, mm-hmm. but I barely, other than remembering the faces of the characters, I can't remember any like thing about these shows. And maybe it was just because most of the jokes were for grownups, and because so much went over my head, I was just like, I don't know what they're saying.
We were like 3-2 and the stuff with that.
What?
We were like babies when this stuff was out.
Yeah.
The Alice theme right here. Let's see if I was close.
TurboTax Live matches you with a tax expert. Oops.
Oh, you were way off. You were way off. You forgot that TurboTax part.
Season one theme song.
Not an endorsement.
It aired August 31st, 1976, before I was born.
Right.
This is definitely the pilot.
And in between I
this is they changed the did they change this
going through life with God.
I like the idea of her car breaking down and her getting a job to pay for it and then getting kind of stuck there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You were just talking about this next show, Designing Women, 86 through 93.
Mm-hmm. What did you Another think? Show I barely remember watching as a kid. I mean, I remember watching as a kid, but don't have any really memories of other than like their faces and the sound of their voices. Watched the first two episodes the other day, prepping for this episode, and wow, is it racist? I mean, it takes place in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Two of the actresses, their real names are Delta and Dixie.
Yeah. Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter and Delta Burke. And Delta Burke, we were talking about this, she was one of the biggest stars of like 80s television.
And she nine, had, right? Some
yeah, she had another show too. I can't, I'm blanking on it.
I think it's like Delta Burke.
Should have done this already.
Not the unsinkable Molly Dodd, right? That was something else. Let's see, Delta Boink. You know, Dixie was from the Dukes of Hat, not different tropes. She played the
yes,
Lemon. Yes. Ooh, she was on Boston Legal.
She had her own show called Delta, which did not do well.
Yeah.
But
so Designing Women was 118 episodes. That's where she killed it.
And Scott Bakula was in the pilot, but only like the very end. He was in like the last couple scenes.
Let's see if I can get the Designing Women theme. I think was da-na, da-na, da-na.
I don't know. I was shocked by how racist some of the jokes were.
Were they overtly racist? I know there's a black guy on there. Was he making the jokes?
So he was not on the show in the first couple episodes.
Oh, that's problematic.
I don't know when they hired him. And I almost wonder if they hired him because there was some backlash. Because it was the 80s, but there were some pretty racist jokes.
I hired the actor from Mannequin 2 on the Move, like Misha or whatever his name was.
Yes. Misha
Barton. Misha
Barton, is it?
No, that's...
No.
She's
that's
from...
Mishka. That's Mishka. Misha... Gosh. I looked this up the other day.
Misha Taylor. Yeah. Yeah,
Misha. Sorry, Misha. But yeah, the jokes were like really like not just like mildly racist, like some older stuff you'll watch. These were just like whoa, they're saying this on prime time.
Misha Taylor. That's crazy. They got away with that.
Yeah, I don't even want to repeat the jokes on here.
Let's not get canceled.
Yeah.
Ooh, here's a juicy one. Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, my parents were into that show. That one didn't last long, though. But its reputation.
That's weird.
I feel like its reputation was long-standing.
They did a couple of TV movies after the show was canceled.
Oh, that's why.
According to this,
they did like what the Hulk did and did some TV movies after the show ended.
Cagney and Lacey was going. Revived in 2018 and did not do well. No one wants to see the return in 1994. Together again. They did a bunch of TV movies. But only that can't be right. 126 episodes. That's what I thought. Yeah, the show was on quite a bit.
Okay. It was on a while, right?
Yeah. There was a weird pilot. movie, and they changed Sharon Glass, that used to be the girl from MASH.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde from MASH was Sharon Glass, and they changed her. What is it with me and theme songs? I remember this theme. Let's see if we're right. Hold on. This is kind of sad. Let's see if we're right.
Yeah, that's how the geologist was like.
Stop with the goddamn looks like commercials.
Residency did it.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nailed it. This is the one that's like in New York City or something like that. Yeah. Like the opening credits.
Yeah, it's they're the Odd Couple, but they're women.
Yeah.
Tyne Daly was super messy, had a family.
Yeah.
Drank habitually. Sharon Glass drank, slept around, was like the hottie. Super violent. Awesome. Cool. Let's see, anybody on your women or women shows that you want to talk about? Felicia Rashad, oh God.
Felicia Rashad, she's one of the best. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening right now to check out a new show that she was in called Inside the Black Box. It's on Crackle, which I've never used before. But this show is so good. It's like inside the actor's studio turned up to 11. So it's like an intimate interview with an actor who's not pitching anything. They're just there, you know, to talk about craft and stuff. But then the audience gets to do a scene with them.
Oh man.
Yeah. And they have audience members do a scene before the guest comes out too. And it's great. So then like, they'll get some direction or feedback or whatever. But so it's like acting plus interviews plus budding actors working with legendary actors. It's so cool. And like everybody that they have in there, I know is gonna be like on casting directors like shortlists, because I don't know how I hadn't seen some of that talent elsewhere before seeing them on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because some performances that, you know, they're just starting out cold in the middle of something, and you're like weeping 40 seconds in. Like, that's powerful, you know. Yeah. That's powerful acting for somebody you've never seen before. And you know, you're not sitting down to watch whatever it is, whatever story it is that they're doing a scene from, but when people can draw you into a performance, you know, without a setup or anything, it's magical.
That is magical. What's it called, Ian?
Inside the Black Box. And it's hosted by the legendary Joe Morton, he's in so much stuff. Most people know him from either Scandal or Terminator 2, depending on like what generation you're from. Because he's Papa Pope on Scandal. and then he's Miles Dyson in Terminator, the creator of the T-1000.
Oh, yeah.
Or the guy who reverse engineers, you know.
He's the one that tries to run and he's like, hey. And he blows everything up when he's about to die. He's like breathing out. So terrible. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's him and another like acting coach. And I'm blanking on her name. I feel bad.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No. Oh man. No.
Lisa.
Anyways, I've taken too much time.
Angelica,
Felicia Rashad is in the pilot episode, and the stories she told, I saw interviews with her as a kid and stuff, but the things she talked about there, I never heard her talk about. And basically, she told, like, I don't want to ruin it, but she told a story that you're just like, wow.
I'm gonna check that out.
We almost didn't have Felicia Rashad because she had to choose between taking care of her kids and like showing up for an audition sort of thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah. She was a single mother when she was starting out acting.
Cool.
And yeah.
That's hey, that's in line with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You'll
powerful stuff though.
You'll recognize this next one because they redid it on Netflix. And I also remember the song for this one too. One Day at a Time.
Oh man.
1995 through 1984.
I remember I watched it too, and I can't remember the theme song.
Valerie Bertinelli.
You're killing me in this game tonight.
Franklin. And then Mackenzie Phillips was this huge teen star back then.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce was not widely represented on television in the mid-70s. Less than a decade before, I did not know this, Carol Brady of the Brady Bunch was never actually allowed to say that she was divorced. I thought she was a widow. Isn't Mike a widow, or is he divorced?
Can't remember.
Hmm.
Can't remember. I don't think they didn't really breach it. You know, the kids never talk about their other parents, you know? They're never like, Dad, I miss Mom.
They're like, where's Alice?
Carol's so great.
Carol's better. Alice, bring me a peanut butter sandwich. So this show was good because they had, I think it was one of the first shows, not one of the first shows, but it shows that embraced the side character that became really popular. And the side character was the creepy maintenance guy that would always just walk into their house. What was his name?
Oh gosh.
One time, la 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 la. Wow, I spent too much time watching TV as a kid.
No, the show was great, and Mackenzie Phillips and Valerie Bertinelli, yeah. Like,
oh, guess who produced it? Give you one guess. Our friend Norman Lear.
Yep.
209 episode. He played Schrader. Schneider. He played Schneider.
Wow.
209 episodes.
Norman Lear, everybody, America.
And Bonnie, the mom, and Valerie Bertinelli were the only two to be in all 209. Mackenzie Phillips left in 83. Wow, that song is really catchy. I'll spare you guys the song though.
Gosh,
interesting. Ooh, here's a good one, which I only started watching recently because it's super addicting. I'm gonna give you a hint. Hey, we should do this. Let's do, instead of reading it off, let's do hints, and then you'll do the next one and I'll see if I can guess it.
Okay.
But this one stars a older English actress, and she plays a mystery novel writer who solves crimes.
Angela Lansbury.
And the name of the show?
Murder, She Wrote.
Bingo.
Such a good show.
Such a good show. And it literally ran for 1984 and 1996. So 12 years.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. So I thought it was just in, wow, it was still going till 96.
And wow. They wrote in 2012, they did a sequel. So there were 264 episodes of this show, and she basically played, was she a traveling,
she was just a no, everything happened around her.
I could have sworn she was a traveling writer though
at one point. No, she's occasionally she traveled, but everything happened in whatever like state she lived in, pretty much all these murders. So I had like an idea that she was actually behind all these.
That's a good twist. I like that.
Yeah, and she was like setting people up who had motives.
Oh, I love the way my chest looks in this. Yeah, she could be that. She could
have. Yeah, and so that twist. She had material to write about.
Professional writer. And you want to hear something cool? Professional writer and amateur sleuth,
yeah.
Jessica Fletcher, which we all know, another famous private detective in pop culture history, is Fletch.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think they named him Fletch in honor of Jessica Fletcher, because that's just my take on it. She uses her intellect, charm, and persistence to get to the bottom of every crime she encounters, and someone dies literally every episode. You don't want to be around Jessica. If Jessica comes to town, you should leave. You might be the next victim. Do you remember the theme song of that?
And she's just sitting at her typewriter. And then there's like shots of her like looking at things like.
And then someone getting bashed over the head with something.
With a lamp or something.
Cool. All right, quiz me.
Okay.
So we have to guess the name, the actor, and gauge the years and hum the theme song. I like this. It's cool. Is that Tom Cruise on TV?
Okay. This was one of the first shows about a career-oriented woman who wasn't married, making it at like struggling and trying to make a life for herself in New York City.
In New York City, damn it. Not Minnesota, not Minneapolis?
Nope. And
damn you.
This was one of my favorite shows.
Is it
that growing girl? Up? Sorry?
Is it That Girl?
It is That Girl.
Yes! I don't know the theme song.
Yes.
Very cool.
Marlo Thomas ran from 66 to 71.
How do I know that?
Yeah. She played most people, if they're not familiar with That Girl, most people know her from Friends because she played Rachel Green's mother.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mary Tyler Moore and all those shows, That Girl was the start of those, like, mod.
Yep.
Victoria. Yep. Her.
She like throws her hat at the end. Wait.
Family Guy makes that.
Did she throw her hat at the end too? Did her and Mary Tyler Moore?
Let's do that. Let's do That Girl opening.
It is crazy how much money I'm saving with every plate instead of ordering out every single night. And by the time.
I love that she has the kite with her on it. Oh, she doesn't throw. Oh, she messes her hair up. That's what she does.
Yeah, same difference.
So that show predated Mary Tyler Moore by 4 years.
Whoa.
Most people think Mary Tyler Moore came first, but That Girl actually came first.
Man, I love to binge watch some of those and get super stoned.
I want to say her boyfriend was like, worked as like a hypnotist or something weird like that. Her boyfriend had like some oddball profession. Maybe he was a talent manager. Gosh, what was he? He was something weird though.
Good guess on that. Are you ready for your clues?
Yeah.
All right. This show featured the first start of what's called Jiggle TV. And it started three actresses and they solved crimes together for a faceless boss.
Oh. Charlie's Angels.
Good guess.
For a second, I thought it was going to be Charmed.
Oh, I know. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, Charmed is just the spiritual realm version of Charlie's Angels, right?
Exactly.
But instead of Charlie, they have that like magical council or something like in the other dimension.
Yeah, and our actor friend played the devil on that show, right? Or a demon. Our friend from LIE, Billy.
Oh, yes, Billy Kay, yeah.
Play the Satan or something. Yeah, did you know that it was called Jiggle TV, Charlie's Angels, because of all the around and bouncing around of women's parts? Super. I'm not really crazy about the way they portrayed women back then. It's not nice.
Yeah.
However, when the movies came out, I want to say that feminism had started reaching a really cool peak in Hollywood because they were complete badasses that didn't depend on anyone in the show, but they didn't they did over sexualize them, I guess, too. But when Demi Moore played the villain in part two, she's gorgeous. Demi Moore is absolutely stunning and doesn't work enough, in my opinion. I think she should work more, but does not work more. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and Drew Barrymore produced that, so it was a lot better, the new ones.
Yeah. All right, I'm ready for mine.
Okay.
Let's see, I'm going to post this.
Four women living in New York City, navigating their careers and...
Sex in the City?
And getting to... And and just being single in the city. Gosh, this is really hard to do.
Not Sex in the City?
Without giving them, no, nope.
It wasn't?
Not Sex in the City.
What years?
90s.
Four women, half an hour or an hour?
It was a half hour sitcom.
Living single?
Yes.
Yes. Friends copied that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Friends definitely started after Living Single. Gosh, when did Friends come out?
96, 94.
Was Living Single? Oh, maybe they came out at the... No, Living Single was 93. Yeah, Living Single was first. I thought it was. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Smarty Pants. Let's switch to a fearless woman in television. She was the first Black woman in a leading role on television, inspired a generation. The first Black woman in a leading sci-fi role in television.
Oh. Well, it's Star Trek. It's,
Lieutenant.
Oh, man. I can't think of her name.
Nichelle Nichols.
Yes.
And I don't want to brag, but I went to Star Trek Live in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that was a magical time because... Yeah, all kinds
Lieutenant
of
Lieutenant Uhura?
Uhura, yeah.
Uhura, yeah.
But I went to Star Trek Live at the Bandages Theater, and she was in the audience. And me and my friend that were there just like lost it and cried for hours.
Wow.
It's playing all the Star Trek footage from like every show and every movie, but also with a live orchestra playing all the soundtracks. Of course you're gonna get emotional.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Showed like Spock dying and then I have always be and always will be your friend. Oh my God. Never again. Ooh, that killed me.
Oh man, I can't wait for that to start up this summer.
What's that?
The films with the score, like the orchestra doing the score.
Oh, like those series?
Yeah, that'll definitely be happening now that COVID's over again.
It does. All right. Sorry. My turn, your turn.
Okay.
Lay it on.
Let's see. All right. Oh gosh. My I thought of one and I'm like, I don't even know if it's on this list. So I'm just going to look up the synopsis for it because.
The synopsis.
Because I'm like, there's a detail I'm trying to remember that I'm like, is okay, yeah. So. Story about a female PI who
a female PI
who works alone but her detective, her older detective father, like gives her clues, like gives her insights every once in a while.
What?
I feel like if I say anymore, I'll give it away completely.
Older detective father.
Yeah.
That sounds like an 80s show.
And the show jumped, networks. Yeah. The show jumped networks after the first two seasons. But the network it was on, it jumped to a similar network that started at the same time as it did.
That sounds like a 90s
movie. In the 90s, there was two stations that came out at the same time.
Oh, UPN and CW.
Yeah. Which was originally just Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
with the WB.
And she's a detective?
Yeah. Oh, PI.
She's a PI.
Her father's a detective.
Oh, no. Why is this on the tip of my tongue? Was it a violent show?
I mean, there's crime in it. I'll give you one more hint. It came out in, 2004. Came out in 2004.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a career-defining role for the lead.
God damn it.
She's in so much stuff now, but if not for this role.
Is it Jennifer Garner and Alias?
Close. Super close.
What is it?
I feel like this show is a offshoot of Alias almost. Like we got this because of Alias.
Hmm.
It was rebooted with a movie with crowdfunding recently.
Oh, Kristen Bell's Veronica Mars.
Yes, Veronica Mars. Yeah.
I never saw that show.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I did see the movie. That was one of the first like crowdfunded films, like huge.
Yeah.
The movie was really good. And then it came out again.
Well, it was the first crowdfunded film with like big stars in it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Then it came out on like a streamer and then it went away again.
Yep, yeah. It was on Hulu.
Yeah, very cool.
I've only seen a little bit of the show, but it was pretty good. I need to watch more of that and Alias. Those are both two shows I never really finished.
This show is produced by a powerhouse of a showrunner.
Okay.
And one of the actresses headlines the show and has headlined the show for a while. It's medical based and it's known for also killing off the cast in like super violent ways. And it's a major hit. And it's
Oh my gosh. And the writer, the creator's name is on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Oh my gosh, what's the show called? Oh man. Sean used to try to get me to watch this show all the time.
I'll give you another hint. It coined the phrase McSteamy.
Yeah.
And McDreamy.
McDreamy, yeah. Oh gosh, what is this show called?
There was another medical-based movie based on the same title in the 90s.
Oh my gosh. What is this called?
What do you mean?
Grey's Anatomy.
Good job. And Shonda Rhimes is the powerhouse.
Yes, Shonda Rhimes. Oh my gosh, I couldn't get it out.
Lady Shondra.
I had to think of the book, the medical book, honestly. That's always Yeah.
There's a movie from the 90s.
There was a movie in the 80s called Grey's Anatomy also, yes.
Yeah, late 80s.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, man.
We have room for four more. So two each more. So
okay.
You go next.
All right.
That girl.
Okay. Here's a good one. She's a female spy who her cover is she's a middle school teacher.
Oh no. Really? I don't know this.
And oh gosh.
What era?
70s.
Oh no, I knew you were gonna say that.
And it was a spin-off of a show that was like had a male count, was like this was essentially the female counterpart to the male version of to the male show.
Agent 99?
No, because that's the same series. It was a totally different show. There was a show first, and then after that was successful, they were like, let's do a female one too.
Is it the same? Is it Get Smart or no?
No, it's not Get Smart. And it's not tongue-in-cheek like that.
Oh, I know.
It takes itself seriously.
The Invisible Woman. No, the Bionic Woman.
Yes. 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 The Bionic Woman. Lindsay Wagner.
That Kenneth Johnson is the one who created V. He created that show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right.
Yep, the Bionic Woman.
I think you'll like this one.
I feel like I liked Bionic Woman better than the Million Dollar Man.
The Million Dollar, the yeah.
Because they're basically the same show, right? Million Dollar Man and, yeah.
And they were.
$6 Million Man. $6 Million.
They were together.
They meet up. They did some like TV movies where they were in them together, right? And I think... I think they both guest starred on each other's shows too.
This is a fun one. This is two women.
Okay.
Takes place in New York. They're 20 somethings and they're best friends. And they're trying to like get out of their 20s alive. They're always broke.
Broad City?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was like, is it Broad City or is it something much older that I don't know? I was like, it's not Laverne and Shirley because he said the city.
It's very Laverne and Shirley-esque, though.
It is Laverne and Shirley-esque.
Alana, Wexler, and Abby.
Except instead of drinking beer all the time, they like smoke weed all the time.
Yeah, and have like unprotected sex. And
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. No judgment, by all means. The show makes me laugh. It reminds me of how scatterbrain I was in my 20s. Well, I thought I knew everything, but I didn't. All right, last one for you and then one for me.
Okay. Okay, this was a landmark show. This was a landmark show. The cast was the same, but the characters rotated. And it spawned a bunch of spin-offs. And had one of the funniest women in TV post Lucille Ball.
It had a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah.
Oh. Maude?
Close.
Because she
close era wise.
It's not Mary Tyler Moore.
Nope.
and it's not Maude. Is it the Valerie show? Valerie Harper show? No, that was a spinoff of Mary.
No, but you know, she was, this was the first, as far as shows like this go, it was the first female fronted show of this kind.
Carol Burnett show.
Yes. It's the first female led variety show. It was mostly sketch comedy, but you know, they had music every once in a while, and musical guests and stuff like that too. So it's considered variety, but yeah, they wanted her to do a sitcom, and she's like, no, this is what I want to do. I want to do a variety show. And they said, but it's a man's world. You'll never make it. She proved them all wrong.
It is not a man's world.
Nope.
Men, you're going down.
Men are the minority.
Yeah, that's right.
As far as like, if you want to count numbers.
Definitely are. There's more females born anyway, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here's a fun one, fairly new.
Okay.
Definitely set the tone for women of color, young women of color. Mm-hmm. Blank portrays a Los Angeles 30-something navigating personal and professional relationships along her many failed relationship exes and BFFs, ups and downs career-wise, all while playing herself, based on herself, and basically the awkward kind of like navigating your 20s and 30s. Brilliant show. Plays herself, a version of herself. Woman of color, young, beautiful.
What time period?
2000, it's contemporary.
Okay.
2017. But I definitely wanted to call her out for being a powerhouse in the industry.
Version of herself. Oh, 2017. Okay, so recent. Oh,
All right, so also, her show was picked up based on her YouTube shows.
Oh. Is it, oh gosh, what is her name? Is it, oh my gosh, my kids watch her.
She was in a movie recently that was based on Freaky Friday, but super different.
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know about that.
She does a lot of monologues in the mirror where the mirror image talks back to her. No worries. Insecure.
Oh, that's what the show is called? Insecure?
Yeah, you need to watch. It's good.
I don't even know it. I was thinking, gosh, man, there's this girl with these huge lips. And I know she has a show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. She
started out on YouTube.
She's great, too.
What is her name? She's really funny.
She's on HBO as well.
Oh, she's on HBO now, too? Wow.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. It's like she's also British, correct?
Maybe.
British girl.
Oh, no, not her. No, that show's great.
Not my friends are settling down.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize this, but a bunch of new movies came out on Netflix. The new Adam Project.
Yeah, that's the director of Free Guy, which is...
Yeah, and he just got...
Such a good movie.
He just got Deadpool 3.
Yeah, they gave him Deadpool 3.
He's talented. Really talented.
I saw Free Cell or Free Guy in theaters with my daughter this summer, or last summer. And right, was it last summer?
Yeah, I mean the kids did too. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. There was barely anyone in there. There was like nobody in the theater. It was amazing.
That's COVID. Yeah, that's like
We were dying. We were dying. It was so funny. I loved that they did what so few people do with trailers, and actually hide most of the movie from the view from the audience. You know, the potential audience, because it was such a surprise. There was so much. It was like, oh, didn't know this was in the movie. Didn't know this, you know? Like, they made you think going into it, you knew what the movie was and you had no clue what the movie was. And I love when trailer editors do that. All movies should be marketed that way.
Good film.
Yeah.
Really good film. I might watch this Adam project tonight. I heard it's really touching. And then
I watched the trailer for it. It looks great.
I finished Better Call Saul season 5 last night. Oh my God. Ugh. I literally had an ulcer from the last two episodes because it was so intense.
Wow.
The way you never see like how they make him into Saul Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weird like
meta. Because that's when it's going to end, right? The show will end when he meets Walt and Jesse, right?
Yeah, but yeah, the way he became like a cartel lawyer is so messed up. And then it's a metamorphosis, kind of like Walter, but so different. He's so much more innocent than Walter ever was, in creepy ways. It's just like,
yeah.
Ironically, they start each season with post Breaking Bad stuff, like him hiding in the Cinnabon.
I've only seen the first few episodes.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
You can binge all 4 seasons on Netflix, and then if you want to borrow my Amazon, you can have 5.
I own some of the seasons on Amazon because
Mike
had my password and bought.
Oh, Mike. Silly Mike. Like,
he was like, oh, I thought it was my account.
Sure, Mike.
I own the seasons on there.
if you can get Peacock, definitely check out the free seasons of Yellowstone as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's I keep meaning to watch that. Everybody keeps telling me to watch that.
It's like I've never been someone like into older men, but Kevin Costner, dude, like I would totally marry that dude. He's just so wise and I've never been into daddies, but I don't know, something about him. Same with Ralph Macchio. My God.
Yeah, they're both having a revival of their careers.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio could just tell me stories all day and pet my temples. Anyway,
he used to come to the Blockbuster I worked at.
In New York? Is he from New York? I thought he's in LA.
He's from Long Island. And where is he from? Gosh, man, actually,
he's from New Jersey, right?
Maybe.
And in the movie, he was from Jersey and the Karate Kid.
Oh, he's from Long Island, I think. Pretty much, I think he lives in the town he grew up in. Sort of thing. He lives in like Middle Island, or something like that.
They don't LA for Atlanta. They don't shoot
because I don't know why. Like the town he lived in, I don't know why you would live there unless it was the town you grew up in. There's not much special about it.
Long Island.
Yeah.
I don't like Long Island that much.
But he would come in there. I never worked on days he came in. The one time he was there, I was like in the back, like eating dinner or something like that. And they're like, oh, Ralph Macchio is just here. I'm like, oh, cool.
I would want him to crane kick me to the face. Just, you know, I got kicked in the face by the Karate Kid, the way Johnny Lawrence went down. You have no idea how addicted I am to that show. It's like, I'm about to do a top 5 reasons you should on The Ponder because it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got to watch it.
You have not watched Cobra Kai yet?
I still haven't seen it.
I'm going to train Kiki with you. It's good. I have to run, but I'll text you right after.
Yes.
Our next episode is going to be a special one. If not this one, then the next one, we're going to have our sibling, one sibling each, Ben Vargas and Emmanuel Garcia, because we're doing the top, the best siblings in TV history. Mm-hmm. And we want to get these characters on here and see us all banter. So we're just organizing it because they're both very busy. But if not, then our next episode will be, I think we decided on best pets in TV history. Mm-hmm. Best family dog and best pets. Mm-hmm. Speaking of pet, I took Sam to the park and he's knocked out now. So cute. He's like snoring like me. But from the TV Time Machine podcast, I am Luis.
And I'm Adam. And
we love TV.
We love TV.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you. Love you, buddy. I will talk to you
soon. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
See you.
TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV